self-confidence is something that I work on every single day. My self-talk is something I work on every single day because I want to be unconditional in myself, you know, always within, not coming from without.
Hey, Hurdlers, Emily Avati here, bringing you episode 117 of Hurdle, a wellness-focused podcast where I sit down with inspiring individuals to talk about everything from their big wins to how they've gotten through some of life's toughest moments. On the show, you can expect vulnerability, motivation, and candid discussions with everyone from top athletes to aspiring entrepreneurs on what it really takes to follow your passions. My mission is simple: to inspire you to be your best self, move with intention, and have some fun along the way. Today, I am bringing you my conversation with Carrie Walsh Jennings. She is an American professional beach volleyball player, three-time Olympic gold medalist, and one-time Olympic bronze medalist. And honestly, I grew up following Carrie, and it was like she was the example of female strength and athleticism, and just an all-around boss, a household name in sport. So I say this to her when we start chatting today. She has been someone I've wanted to chat with for quite some time now. And the opportunity came my way thanks to one of her sponsors, the California Almond Board. Now, on that note, I do want to take a second just to talk about the sponsorship side of things, so to speak. I know sometimes it can feel a little bit wonky when you hear buzzwords or messaging, but these sponsors empower people like Carrie, like me, to do what we want to do. And I can speak from my side of things with companies like the ones that you'll hear from today, Athletic Greens and Beam. These are companies that I use their products on the regular. I truly believe in what they have to offer. And it's kind of a symbiotic relationship in that they also believe in what I'm putting into the world. They believe in who I am as an individual. And together, we can do some really great stuff. So of course, when the Almond Board approached me about the opportunity to chat with Carrie for Hurdle, it was an absolute no-brainer for me. And it's clear to me from our conversation that she appreciates them just as much as they appreciate her. A little insight as to what Carrie and I talk about today. We talk about her growing up in Santa Clara. She talks to me about her journey through the sport, playing in college, going pro. And we cover not just the highlights of her career, like those gold medals, but also the hard times. We also reference quite a bit Michael Gervais. He is a performance psychologist, someone that works with some of the best of the best, not just athletes, but top CEOs, etc. And God, are the takeaways and the nuggets and the pull quotes from Carrie about doing the work, inner strength, self-confidence, coming back from failure, they're all in there, and they're all the kind of stuff that's really going to motivate you while you're listening to be your best self and walk away from this episode with a ton of inspiration. Before we get into the swing of things today, I do want to take the time to shout out my sponsors. First up, Athletic Greens. A lot of you have been tagging me in your Athletic Greens packages and shaker bottles lately, and I am all about it. The greens powder has the antioxidant equivalent to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables. It's also got prebiotics, probiotics, adaptogens, and superfoods. One of the questions I get often is, when do you consume your AG? A lot of people I know, they do it literally first thing in the morning. You roll out of bed, you use the bathroom, you walk into the kitchen, you shake up your Athletic Greens. For me, I'm a get up, workout, then have my Athletic Greens sort of gal. This way it's not swishing around in my stomach, and it's kind of like my reward for myself, like job well done, now it's really time to start the day. And let's be real, not every single day is the picture perfect example of healthy eating and habits, but for me, with that morning movement, with my morning shaker bottle of Athletic Greens, I know that I'm doing something good for my body to get things going in the right direction. They are offering Hurdle listeners an awesome deal. You've got to take advantage of this. It's 20 travel packs, a $79 value, absolutely free with your first purchase. Just head on over to athleticgreens.com/hurdle. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hurdle to get yours today. No code necessary. Next shout out of the day to my friends at Beam. Now, I fell in love with Beam because of their Dream CBD powder. Basically, it's a dream boosting blend, as they call it, that helps you wind down for the night. It's got melatonin, magnesium, L-theanine, and of course their CBD powder. I mix it with almond milk and it tastes like a sweet hot chocolate, but it's even better because I know that it's gonna help me sleep through the night. I'm so into anything that can just help me quiet my mind, calm down, and get a better, more restful sleep. Well, the company recently released their Dream capsules, which have all of the benefits of that Dream powder blend, but in a convenient pill form. I'm personally hooked on this new offering from Beam, and I know that you will be too. They've got a great deal for you guys. Head on over to beamtlc.com to get 15% off your purchase today using the code HURDLE at checkout. Again, that's beamtlc.com. Use the code HURDLE at checkout to get 15% off your purchase today. One last bit of housekeeping before we get into today's episode. I would love for you to sign up for the newsletter Hurdle Weekly. It comes out every Friday morning in the same format as the 5-Minute Friday episodes. The link to subscribe is in the show notes, so please do so. And also, when you're in there, there's an opportunity for you to like what you're reading. You can comment. So engage with me. I want to have a conversation with you always with what's going on in our country more than ever, to support one another, to show up for one another. And that has always been my goal here with the Hurdle community. At Emily Abadi and at Hurdle Podcast on social. And if you have a Hurdle moment of your own to share, or you just want to say hi, I'm always an email away. It's emily@hurdle.us. With that, let's get to hurdling. Today, I am sitting down with Carrie Walsh Jennings. She needs no introduction if you ask me, but obviously an American professional beach volleyball player, a multi-time Olympic gold medalist, an Olympic bronze medalist. I mean, the accolades are endless. Of course. Well, fun fact, Carrie, you were on my original, what I refer to as my dream guest list. And so I'm amped to be talking with you today. And I'm going to start us off with a fun question. I once heard you say that you practice and prepare for every single situation so that when you get on the court, you're ready. And I bring that up now because obviously, with a pandemic, there's been a lot of things that we have not been able to prepare for as a nation. So what have you been doing to kind of show up and handle these unforeseen times?
Oh, Emily, such a good question. And yeah, it's just a gnarly roller coaster of a time. So emotional, so exciting. You know, I think through chaos, ideally better structures and change, positive change comes. And with a pandemic, it's just sad, yet there's a lot of healing going on as well. And, you know, the wonderful realization for me is that the way I've trained myself as an athlete and the way I was raised as a human and by nature as well, like faith is very prominent in my life. Personal accountability and responsibility is very, very present in my life every single day on and off the court. And I am looking at this challenging time as a way for me to show up and to set the tone for how I show up in really challenging, hard times. You know, I'm a mother now. I have 3 kids, 11, 10, and 7. And I cannot, you know, be crazy every day and be an emotional roller coaster. And so what I'm doing is I'm acting as if I chose this. And I really appreciate that line of thinking, because if you act like you chose it, you take responsibility for how you show up in a situation, good or bad. And then you have the power to control it, you know, to show up in the way you want. Whereas I think a lot of people, and I'm seeing this with my family, with my friends, a lot of people are feeling victimized by this, totally understandably. You know, it showed up out of nowhere and it took away our Olympics. It took away our school, our prom, our weddings, like so many amazing things. And they're, you know, heartbroken by it. And they're kind of on the defense. And so what I like to do is to be on the offense, to be really proactive and to choose how I'm going to show up in my days. And I really appreciate my upbringing and my life as an athlete, because it's trained me to deal with uncomfortable situations. And it's trained me to focus on what I can control.
This truly sounds like spoken from an athlete who has taken some time to think about the mental side of things. Are you still working with Michael Gervais?
Yeah, I love him. That man is a world changer. One by, you know, well, now he's scaling because he's able, you know, thank goodness for all this technology, but he's changed my life, my marriage, myself, my soul. He's incredible.
Reflecting on your time working with Michael Gervais, would you say that there's been any like absolutely breakthrough moment that literally changed everything for you?
Gosh, Emily, there's so much with him. And like with all good teachers and guides, he just keeps guiding me deeper and deeper into myself. You know, like I feel very deeply, I think very deeply, but he makes me articulate very deeply. And when you talk about hard conversations, you know, usually we have kind of our patent answers, and then he'll go one under that and then one under that. And I'm like, oh my hell, I don't even have words for these things I'm feeling. But he kind of sits with you in silence without judgment. And he does that. So he's really shown me the power of listening, because he is an amazing listener, the power of self-awareness. Because he, like, you know, you show up and you're like ready to get deep, right? And you're talking about things that either you have resentment about or fear about or doubt. And he talks to you about it in such a gentle way. But then he's like, he checks in with my body. Like, where do you feel that emotion, and label that emotion, you know? And self-awareness, Emily, is a superpower. Like, if you can train yourself to be self-aware, like, gosh, my mind is racing right now. You know, I'm going to take a deep breath, or, you know, I'm sweating right now. Like, what's behind this? Like the ability to stop and like take kind of stock of how you feel, it just allows you to reset and move forward powerfully. And Gervais has given me that in leaps and bounds. And he's also taught me that confidence comes from one place and one place only. And it's literally the way I speak to myself. My self-talk dictates the way I show up in the world. Because, Emily, it doesn't matter if you think I'm rad. It doesn't matter if my family thinks I'm amazing and smart and beautiful, or my husband or the fans. Like, all of that stuff is outside of me. And if it's outside of me, that means it's unstable, because those people, those things, those situations have to be perfect and there every time for me to like get the benefits of them loving me and supporting me. But when they're not there, if I'm relying on that, it's just, I'm in shambles. And so self-confidence is something that I work on every single day. My self-talk is something I work on every single day, because I want to be unconditional in myself, you know, always within, not coming from without.
For those of you who might not know Michael Gervais, he's a high performance psychologist. He works with a ton of athletes, Fortune 100 CEOs, the whole gamut. Such an interesting and brilliant guy. What I'd love to dive into a little bit now, of course, is, as you mentioned, the Olympics have been pushed back. So I'd love to hear about what your routine looks like now with this shift.
Yeah. Well, again, thank goodness I've been trained to be nimble and adaptive and, you know, have a healthy lifestyle. I mean, like so many, my world, my schedule just shut down, you know, and I'm a very scheduled person. And so it was just so gnarly to have, you know, to go from training, you know, three trainings a day, 6 hours a day to nothing for a while, and to have all my tournaments canceled and all these things. So it took me a while to figure out my schedule and to figure out that I needed a schedule. And now, you know, Emily, I'm doing the same things. It's just with a little bit different intent. So movement is hugely important in every single day. Meditation is hugely important in every single day. My health and nutrition habits are just off the charts, because with this pandemic, with this virus, like, I don't want to wait for a vaccine. You know, I don't want to wait for an authority to say, okay, now you're safe again. Like, I believe it's my job to support my immune system, you know, so I can fend off these things. So there's a huge focus on great nutrition. And that's why I'm really proud to be talking to you today. Almond Board, my partner with California Almonds, they set this up. And, you know, it's just so important to fuel yourself with beautiful, real food. And my partnership with California Almonds allows me to like get on my platform and be like, you guys, we can live healthy lives. We can feel good in our bodies. We can literally ward off disease and virus if we choose the right foods. Foods are medicine. And so my snacking and my, you know, my eating in general, I really had to figure out the right balance between I had to get more discipline. I was snacking constantly the first 2 weeks, and it was so frustrating. Thank goodness I reached for healthy things like almonds, you know. So it just reminded me that I am what I'm surrounded by. I need to be really mindful when I go to the grocery store, when I shop, because I don't want to have the crap around, because I'm going to reach for it, you know. So mindfulness is huge. Nutrition is huge. Sleeping is huge. connecting with my people. You know, I think a lot of people are feeling really lonely and they miss their people. Like, thank goodness I have a family of five and we all really sincerely like each other. Otherwise, this would be really, really hard. So I'm just really, again, focusing on what I can control. And I live myself truly. You know, my life is a lifestyle. My habits are ingrained in me. And so I think that's how I'm surviving this pandemic, and my head's on straight, even though I am emotional and I'm kind of all over the place. My head's on straight, my feet are on the ground, and I'm just eager to make the best of it.
Making the best of it is really just about as best as we can do. I love what you said about reaching for, obviously, the almonds and keeping other healthy snacks around. I remember when I listened to you on Rich Roll, you mentioned that you were drinking the Four Sigmatic Chaga Mushroom Hot Cocoa, maybe? Yeah.
Well, I drink every Four Sigmatic product all the time.
Aside from, I mean, that stuff and the almonds, what would you say are other smart things that you integrate often into your diet and regular routine?
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is something my trainer told me, said out loud a month ago to somebody else. And he's like, you know, when you're constructing your meal, whether it's a snack or a full on meal, the first thing you need to think about is your protein. And that to me, because sometimes I'm just confused, you know, and I don't know what to structure my meal around. But as an athlete, as a high performing human, as someone who wants to keep building muscle and supporting my entire system, protein is obviously huge. And when he said that, Emily, I was like, duh. I need protein at every meal, you know? And so when he said, build your meals and your snacks around protein, it was like a light went off. And now, like, I just made my kids breakfast and they all wanted apples. And so I was like, awesome, great, great fiber, great, you know, vitamins. Let me put some natural almond butter so you can have the protein, you know, to offset that blood sugar spike. And so just things like that are really, really helpful to me. You know, when I go shopping, I work as hard as I can to avoid the inside aisles. You know, I shop on the perimeters, which again, it's just real food. I want to ingest and digest real food because that's where the nutrients are. You know, when it's processed, when it's in a package, so yummy, so amazing. They just have to put other things in their preservatives to keep them that way. And I don't need that in my body. Yeah. So I choose healthy, basically, you know, and I look at it as, I want to feel good. And it's an exciting thing. And I'm learning the healthy swaps that I can do in my life, you know. But nutrition is hugely, hugely important. My snacking is really important. I didn't realize I was a grazer, you know. And so every week, you know, when I do have time to meal prep, I do make really healthy snacks. We have our almond balls that we make that are energy bites, you know, with the protein and which things that are going to like prepare me to go and have a great workout or go and help my kids in their Zoom calls for school. I mean, let's not talk about homeschooling. I will lose my mind. I'm such a bad teacher. And then entrees, you know, I eat my protein, I eat my greens, and everything is for performance and everything is for feeling good. And I want my kids to live that way. So I need to be a good role model, you know.
Nutrition is such an important part of your life these days, as well as, you know, being a stellar athlete and training. When you were growing up, I know you were born in Santa Clara. Was athleticism a really important thing? Were you an active kid?
Oh my goodness gracious. Yes. Well, my parents are both athletes. My mom played three sports at Santa Clara University. My dad, you know, played basketball and semi-pro basketball and baseball. He's a stud. Their parents were studs. It was unavoidable. You know, I think in my DNA, part of the data is you're a competitor. You have no choice. And the way I was raised, it was just, we were just constantly playing. You know, I have a billion cousins. We all grew up around each other. I have, you know, I'm one of five kids, and that was our life. Our life was faith, family, and sports. And fast forward, now I'm 41. I have kids of my own, and my life is faith, family, and sports, and it's rad.
So when did you first get into volleyball then?
You know, I played everything growing up. When I found volleyball, I was just head over heels in love, and I was 10 in the fifth grade. And I continued to play every single sport. When I got to high school, I played basketball and volleyball, and I'm a really big advocate for multi-sport athletes. You know, I'm sure you're well aware of it, but there's so many young kids who are starting to work for a college scholarship when they're 10 years old, and therefore they're specializing and only doing one sport 365, 24/7. And that's just, it makes me sad. I fully understand, and I understand the rationale. To me, it's just flawed, you know, and to me, the best of the best in any realm, but certainly in sports, are the athletes who are utility players, you know, who have a very well-rounded knowing and mastery of the game, not just one little dimension. And so I really appreciate that I played a lot of sports growing up. But volleyball, Emily, like prior to volleyball, I thought I was going to be the first girl in the NBA. I thought I was going to be the first major league pitcher. And then I found volleyball and I was just like, no, this is what I want to do.
You went to Stanford on a volleyball scholarship. When you were there, did you think I'm definitely going to take this pro, or did you think this is something I'm going to do in college?
I didn't think about it. My life has been so awesome and just that it keeps unfolding as it should. You know, there's not a lot of premeditation about what's next. And I feel like I live my life so honestly and like, I can't do anything fake, Emily. Like I can't force something. I can't do something today that I hope turns into something down the road. You know, I need to do things authentically. And so I think the fact that I live my days so truly, it just keeps leading me to like my heart's desire and to what's next. In high school, you know, I love volleyball and my parents would take me to Stanford games and I'd go watch and I walked the campus and that planted that seed. And then I worked hard. I got that scholarship and, you know, something else came knocking at the door just because I think I was living so honestly and I was living out my heart. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. So now with volleyball, just every time I just keep leveling up and there's no more levels to go in my competitive career. And I've been doing it for 20 years. So I'll segue into something else, you know, which I have a company called P1440, which I will be the natural segue, but I'm not even thinking about that. You know, I'm just living my life.
After you started playing in college, was there a specific moment or an event that made you decide, like, I've got to keep running with this?
Well, I think just my true love for it. You know, people can ask me, they're like, Carrie, why are you still going? My goodness. Like, it's almost greedy at this point, you know? And I'm just like, well, what do you want me to cut off this love affair that is still going strong? Like, that's not fair. I would feel just so sad if I gave up something prematurely because on paper, it's been 20 years, you know? And so I'm just keep following my heart. And I still have big goals and dreams with what I'm doing. And I've said this in so many interviews, and it's so my truth. It's like three things keep me going in the game. My love for the game, my sincere love for the people I've been surrounded by, the relationships that I fostered has been incredible. The best part of this times a billion. And then the personal growth that I get, you know, because every like goal that I'm trying to strive, I have to become the person capable of attaining that goal. And whether I fall short or not, it almost doesn't even matter because I'm becoming something more and better. And that's the gift of all these things. That's why it's so important to have something to aim for. You know, if you don't have anything to aim for, we're kind of like, okay, I'll do this and this and this. But if you know what you're going for, it's your system, your mind, your spirit, like organizes itself and organizes the life outside of ourselves to help you do that. And it's so cool.
You mentioned personal growth. You mentioned falling short. I think a lot of people, when they chat with you, they probably immediately go to that bronze medal. But my question for you really is, if you think about your career thus far, and you mentioned 20 plus years here, is there a specific instance that was quote unquote a failure that really just launched you into a better understanding of who you are and what your strengths might be?
Oh, well, what a good question. You know, that bronze medal, people actually don't want to talk about it because I think they don't want to hurt my feelings.
You know? Really? I would think that like when people talk about winning and losing, so to speak, they're like, well, there was that one bronze medal.
I know, but it's like the secret in the closet, which is crazy. I might be projecting on them. That could totally be my issue because it was for a while, you know, when we won it, I was so happy. I was so proud because honestly, and I'm at that point again, it was the hardest thing I've ever done as an athlete to literally get your heart ripped out of your chest, to fail on the world's biggest stage. The way I framed it was that it was my fault that I, you know, had the worst game and I took our team out of it. And the way you frame challenges and failures, like, oh my gosh, it sets up your road to healing from that failure and learning. And so I really put myself in a hole there. But to win and to like have to be everything that I try to teach my kids to be, you know, have high character. If you get knocked down, believe in yourself, get back up. It's not always going to be easy. You always just fight and fight and fight. And that's the gift of sports. And so April and I did that and we triumphed and it was gnarly and it was so beautiful. For 2 years after that, Emily, I was in a tailspin. Like every time I played, I stepped on the court, I played in fear. every time I step in the court, you know, I used to look at the athletes being like, okay, I know your weakness here, here, here. I can, you know, I see you, I respect you, but I'm going to go after you. But the way I framed it after that is like, oh my gosh, I've been so exposed. I'm so weak. Like they all know. And it was just so not me. And it was so confusing. And what I came down to is that I just didn't realize that I had wrapped my entire identity on winning. Not that I won everything before, but in the world's biggest stages, like when it was like crunch time, I won and we won. And every team win, you know, I stepped up and I did my job. And this was one situation where I didn't. And I felt like it was all my fault. And so I really had to come to grips with, like, it shook me down to my foundation. And I did a lot of work with Gervais. I had to forgive myself. I had to talk about the shame that I felt. And this is all for sports. You know, like imagine like, and which is my life, like I'm not trying to demean sports because this is everything to me. But imagine, you know, screw ups in life. Like we are so mean to ourselves. And yeah. So the self-love part of everything, you know, I talk about mindfulness and self-love and sitting in stillness. And a lot of people think it's woo and floofy. And I'm like, you guys, you don't understand. Like if you have self-love, you can handle anything, any failure, because you know you can learn and grow through it. If you sit in stillness, you can always return to the moment, which is your point of power. You know, these things that seem so floofy are like leading edge, laser sharp weapons that I can use. And so I've needed that a lot since Rio. And I think the gift of Rio is that it did. It humbled me and I had to go deeper into myself. And at this point, now even on top of everything with the pandemic, it's like, I want to go out there and just compete. You know, I know what I want. I want to dominate. I want to win that gold medal, but that even causes stress and pressure, right? And Gervais, he taught me, he's like, Carrie, instead of talking about a big moment, instead of talking about the pressure that you feel, you know, when it's 13-all in game three, he's like, just look at it as this is a competitive moment. And Emily, when he said that, I was like, that is so genius. Because I know, if I know anything in life, I know I'm a competitor and I'm born to compete. And competing is just all about giving your best to what's in front of you. And I can do that with the best in the world in any sport, male, female, whatever you got. And so that's what I've learned that since Rio. And with this pandemic, you know, we were so ready for Tokyo, but we were kind of pissed off and like almost wanting to be done, but so excited for the journey. But you know, when you want something too bad, you can suffocate it. And now I think the gift of this pandemic is that we're just going to be grateful and we're going to go out there and press play and be playful. I want to be joyfully dominant. That's like my goal. I want that combination. And now I think that's possible as we go into Tokyo.
What aside from volleyball right now excites you?
I mean, growing up, you know, I'm really getting connected. Like I live in my spirituality every single day and I'm just understanding myself more and feeling closer to my creator, my children and seeing their, you know, souls thrive and their minds grow and their curiosities lead them into themselves. That's really beautiful. You know, I'm really excited for our world right now, even though I know it's so gnarly and there's so much going on. I've lived it. I've lived rock bottom lifting me up. You know, and I have burnt my house down and rebuilt it better. And so I think that's where our world is at. Certainly here in America, I believe that's where we're at. And I know there's so much, you know, the toxicity and the negativity is so loud, but I look around and I see so much good and so much unity. And that's what's going to lead us forward powerfully. And I want to be part of that light movement. You know, gosh, it's like one person who has a positive message is like a million times stronger than 100 people with a negative message, you know, and I see so many kind of light workers and healers and leaders in the world. And I'm so excited.
On the day-to-day front right now, I mean, you had mentioned, I think, three different practices or something earlier in our conversation. So what does it look like for you now?
You know, it's just, there's always so much opportunity. Like I've had so many injuries in my life. And my mom always just said, Carrie, there's opportunity here. There's opportunities to add tools to your toolkit. So we take it one day at a time. We have like things planned like 3 weeks out where our kids could get excited about. And that kind of takes the pressure off of the pressure of the moment. You know, there's always something to look forward to. But the day-to-day it's really basic. You know, for me personally, I start every day with mindfulness. I sit in meditation for 15 minutes. I do my gratitude journal and I write my thoughts. You know, writing makes me smarter and it holds me accountable and I can kind of flesh out my thoughts and where I'm at. You know, the family wakes up around 6:30 and we have a rad breakfast together, you know. It's really fun. The kids are always so alive and awake and happy in the mornings. And then usually between 9 and 3, like my husband and I, Casey and I, are doing the business, you know, that we ran P1440. We're training. We're training with our kids. We're playing one-on-one in the backyard, but we're doing mostly, you know, business stuff between those times. And then after that, it's just a free-for-all with our family. This is such a great time because it's like we're in a fishbowl with our family and our kids. Man, they're little mirrors. Like when I'm messing up or when I'm being too casual with my, you know, my snacks that I reach for, if I'm eating too much junk or if I'm on my phone too much or if I'm grumpy, like I get immediate feedback on their little faces and it makes me better, you know? And this is such a time where our kids are looking to us for leadership and guidance. And that's really inspiring to me. You know, it makes me better. It makes me more thoughtful because the best leaders in my life, it's like Mike Gervais, he doesn't tell me how to do it. He guides me as I figure out my way, you know, and he leads by example. And I want to be that way for my children, with my husband, and certainly for the world.
Definitely. And I'm totally with you on the writing things down note. It's like a cornerstone for me of my morning routine. When you think about some of the best advice that you have been offered in your career, what do you think about?
You know, I just keep coming back to personal accountability. To me, personal accountability is the antidote to chaos, you know? And I feel like there's the tendency is just, we're all victimized by life in life to different varying degrees. And, you know, and there's so many blessings even when we're in those challenging places. But I keep coming back to the fact that if I can show up in my days, show up in every situation and act like I chose it, I can therefore master the situation and master the moment. And again, I don't want anything outside of me to determine my fate or determine my happiness or the way I show up. And so for me, I'm really working on that, like just to focus on what I can control, you know, and to be the change I believe is necessary and to set the tone I think will help the situation. Like Mike Gervais at the end of every podcast, he's like, finish this sentence. It all comes down to blank. And for so long, and I still believe this, I would say love, right? Love is behind everything in my life, even the fear and the doubt. Love is the bottom line. But to me, I think a more powerful thing to do, to say, at least right now for me, is that it all comes down to me. You know, it comes down to me. Like I am the leader of my own life. I create my own life. And I really want to encourage people and empower people to look at life that way, because then literally, man, you are the captain of your own ship. It's beautiful.
I love that. Well, right now, you know, if I scroll over to your Instagram, I see a woman that is a volleyball player, a mother. She's got 237,000 followers and change. When you look in the mirror, what is it that you see looking back at you?
Oh man. Well, I'm tempted to not be nice to myself right now. Believe it. Who does that?
You wouldn't be the first person to say that.
I know. Well, I bet everyone says that, you know, and that's why it's probably a good exercise. There's a meditation you do where you literally close your eyes and you talk to yourself in the mirror, and it's really hard for me. So thank you for reminding me that that's some work I have to do.
I got you, Carrie.
Oh, thank you. When I look in the mirror, Emily, I really see a sincere human, that is very much a work in progress. And both sides of that sentence are equally important, because I really want to be grateful and happy and accepting of where I'm at, and yet always working toward better and happily so. Not because I feel shame or, you know, I'm just because there's always more to be and to do. And so that's kind of where I'm at in life right now. I really don't look in mirrors too much anymore. but I really like the symbolization of a mirror, symbolism. And, you know, there's a jeweler I love, Me and Ro. They have this beautiful gold disc, and it's called the Tibetan mirror. And so there's just four dots that kind of go in a diamond shape. And they say, like, when you go to heaven, a mirror is going to be placed in front of you, and you're going to have your life played out in front of you. And so we should live our lives in a way that when we do get there, we'd be proud. And, you know, and so I really appreciate that symbolism. And when I look in a mirror, I'm grateful and I want to be better.
I love it. Well, I'll close this out here with the question that I finish off every episode. Right now, you have an opportunity to give yourself one piece of advice. I'd say during that hurdle moment after the bronze, when you came back and you were just kind of second guessing yourself a lot, you have an opportunity to offer yourself one piece of advice during that difficult time. What do you tell yourself?
Man, what a great question. I guess there's two sides of it. It's like, one is that failure is part of it. It's supposed to be hard. And the other side of it is you can do hard things and you'll grow from this. I think that those kind of couple phrases would round out how I wish I would have framed it. It took me 2 years to get there.
And you know what? You're still showing up and doing hard things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's really cool. Emily, I've talked to over 5,000 kids and coaches and parents in the past two and a half months since all of this happened. And like, I always get to the point in the conversation where I'm like, you guys, you can do hard things. Like, you know that about yourself and know that it's like, it's your spirit that dictates that. And that's your essence. And so every time I talk to someone, like I'm talking to you, Emily, I'm talking to myself, you know, yeah. And these things are simple, but it doesn't mean they're easy. And like, it's like living a healthy lifestyle. It's simple, but it does not make it easy. And that's why it's so important to create great habits, you know, with your sleep routine, with your nutrition routine, with your recovery, and your, you know, moving every day and your gratitude journal, whatever it is. We are our habits. And so we might as well make those awesome.
Thank you so much for your time today, Carrie.
Oh, you're welcome, Emily. You're rad. I really, really appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you one more time to my partners at the California Almond Board. They are an authentic partner of mine and they really fuel my days and they help fuel this dream. I want that fourth gold medal, Emily, in Tokyo, and my partners are a huge part of it. And it's going to be a rad ride. I can't wait to see the person I evolve into to make this dream a reality.
Well, thank you so much. Please take a moment to leave a quick review by clicking the link with the description to this episode. We all face multiple hurdles in life. I want to hear about yours. Reach out to me at emily@hurdle.us. Connect with the podcast on Instagram and Twitter @hurdlepodcast. Carrie, how do they keep up with you? Give me the details.
Oh my goodness. Okay. @CarrieLeeWalsh on all social channels. I would be honored if everyone followed @platform1440. That's our company based on body, mind, and spirit optimization and volleyball. And that's it. And actually, if you go to my Instagram account, I gave my phone number to everyone, Emily. I feel like a crazy woman, but it's so cool to see these. It's so intimate and I'm getting to, like, I sent someone a happy birthday message today. You know, it was so fun. So they can go to my Instagram account and there's a text button and they can connect with me in a more intimate way there. But most importantly is @platform1440. I would appreciate support behind this movement and behind this great sport that I love so much.
I am @EmilyAbadi @hurdlepodcast. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.